Today on Real Radio.
I am amazed on how the world and the people of the world ignorantly attack and hate Jesus. Just hate his name. And yet you ask people, why are you so upset when we mention Jesus?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, so far we've learned that there are at least two fundamental threads that weave through this epistle. First one, divine love. And the second, avoiding deception. Now don't forget, John often referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, now we're learning even more about the depth of that godly love. If we are true disciples of the Messiah, then we are to be willing to lay down our lives for fellow believers. Sounds like a pretty tall order to me, but not in the greater context of being one of his followers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from 1 John and part of chapter 3. It's called Knowing Real Love.
Boy, we may not even get past the title, huh? Knowing Real Love. What a world we live in right now. Knowing Real Love. We are hot off the streets of Stuttgart, Germany. Asked there people many, many questions. Introduced them to Jesus Christ. Many, many times the question came up about love. How can God love? If God is real, then why? And those are great questions. But listen, first of all, the world is to know and to witness God's love by our relationship one to another as Christians. In 1 John, as you can see, chapter 1, verse 3, it is the theme verse of the entire book. You know, if you're a student of the Bible, and I know all of you are, you will always find, this is pretty cool, it's a little bit of a neat tip. You will always find the theme of the book that you're studying in the first chapter, not only in the first chapter, but you will often find the theme of the entire book that you're studying in the first few verses. It's very important. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says there, John is speaking, he says, that which we have seen, listen, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To know the real love of God. John was writing at a time of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was prevailing, and it was a belief that held to the fact that all things that were material were evil things. That which was spiritual was holy, no matter what that thing was. That which was material was evil. And so the Gnostics believed that there was a great void between, and there was really no being accountable. That you could live a life and live it as you please. And it really didn't matter because the material world was written off. It was just wasted. And so it didn't really matter how you lived. But John wrote in his first epistle, second and third, that this thing of love, not only love and loving one another, that Christians should know and be known by their love for one another. But listen, he says that which we have handled, we've seen, and we've heard with our own ears, our own hands, we've touched him, the Lord of glory. He says this in the first chapter of 1 John. We touched him. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the personification of love himself. I am amazed on how the world and the people of the world ignorantly attack and hate Jesus. Just hate his name. And yet you ask people, why are you so upset when we mention Jesus? And they really don't have a response. This one who came from heaven, died for the sins of the world. Maybe that's the problem, huh? I guess if you look at Jesus, you got to fess up that he died. And just his death, you know, generates a little bit of concern, a little bit of guilt, I guess, which maybe, hopefully, that guilt leads to salvation, conviction. You must have conviction before salvation. You must first face up to the fact that you're a sinner before God can ever claim and declare you a saint. But you mention the name of Jesus, and people either go, "Ah, yes," or they get all up in arms about him. I think I might have shared in one of the services on Sunday that last week when we were there in Germany, there were a string of kids sitting down, and they got a real kick out of this. They were 15 years of age, all of them sitting there. Pretty sharp boys, by the way, spoke wonderful English. And I asked them, I said, who do you think's really, really important? You think Buddha's really important, or Muhammad, or Joseph Smith, or Jesus Christ? Who's the big hitter among them all? And they kind of pretty much agreed that it was Jesus. And I said, isn't it interesting that if somebody, stubs their toe or cuts their finger or falls off their bicycle or whatever it is, they don't say, "Oh, Buddha." They don't raise the hammer and slam it down upon their thumbnail and say, "Oh, Muhammad." And they got a real kick out of that. And it hit them, because I remember how that hit me when someone led me to think that so many years ago when I was a child. That whenever God is cursed, Jesus' name is right in there. And it ministered to those guys. Jesus is associated with love, forgiveness, and righteousness. But Jesus and his name is also associated with heaven and hell. He stands at the crossroad of every human's life, every human being. As Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And we've mentioned this before, how every human being who comes to the age of being accountable must make a determination about Jesus. They must. I was pretty excited this last couple weeks in Germany as I had a chance to speak to a lot of people who had been schooled in evolution. And they said, "Well, I'm an evolutionist." We had an evening together after we had a little bit of a concert. A precious group, a band by the name of Promise from Calvary Chapel Ziegen, drove some 4 hours down for us, did a music, set of music on the steps of the mayor's office, and then we got up and preached the gospel. And after the gospel was given, four girls at the university there said, "I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you about evolution." And they went on about their evolutionary theory, and you would listen to them and try to act like we were impressed with what they were just regurgitating. Really, they were just regurgitating. You understand that? They truly were, because as they were speaking, and they would make some statement, and everybody knows that this is thus and so. And I said, "Well, how do you know that's true? How do you know that evolution is true?" "Well, our professor was teaching." "Oh, no. What you're saying is you are regurgitating. You are telling me what your professor told you." "Who told your professor? Show me, tell me, lead me to the evidence." And there is no evidence. And they knew it. And they just, as they stood there, began to be whittled down, not in grief, but in their intellect. It was whittled down, and they stood there respectfully, and they admitted, "You're right." But to consider the concept of God changes your mind. It completely changes the way you think. If God be real, then now my life means something. If God is real, then now there's a purpose for my existence. There is a meaning to who I am. And I want to ask you tonight, who are you? I look around. I'm John the businessman, or I look around and I see that, you know, I'm Carrie and the school teacher. I look around and I see Frank and he's the contractor, and I look around and I see these people. I see Joe and I see others, and who are you? Well, you are these things, but you're a Christian. You are created in the image of God, and God has invested His Holy Spirit in your life. And our lives are to be known, if God be real, by our love one for another. It's so important to know real love. There are girls now on the streets or in hotel rooms, in cars, giving up their bodies, thinking that this maybe will lead them to real love. There's men doing the same, thinking, now this is going to work. I will finally have real love. You know, listen, frankly, there may have been couples that just this last weekend exchanged vows, and they're riding that wave. That honeymoon is still, you know, going on, and it's real love. Listen, that's great and that's wonderful, but there's one real love, and that's the love of God that has been spread abroad or poured out in our hearts by Jesus Christ. And you'll never be able to love your wife. You'll never be able to love your husband or love the world. I don't mean love the world, you know what I mean? But I mean love the world. You know what I mean? You look at the world, doesn't your heart break because you love the people in the world? We don't love the things of the world. So funny, you know, we're walking around in Germany, they get Stuttgart's the, you know, it's the delivery room, birthplace of Mercedes-Benz there. And everybody drives one. They even have this little car. They have a car there called, it's called a smart car. I didn't know this car existed. A smart car. It's made by Swatch. You know Swatch, the watch people? It's made by Swatch and Mercedes-Benz. It's the funniest thing. It looks like a watch. I mean, it's about as big as a watch. But it carries this price tag. And every car that goes by is a BMW, Mercedes-Benz, an Audi, and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, for some men who struggle with, you know, cars and things like that, that'd be a stumbling place to be. But boy, you can see the people. You see the people drive by in their little smart car. You know, you can, I am not kidding when I tell you, it's about from here to about from here. From bumper to bumper. About that big. And you see that guy driving it like this. And then you see the guy driving the, you know, they got Mercedes-Benz there I've never seen on this planet. They're totally different. And that guy, he sits a little different. Moves a little different. Same people. Same person on the inside. Looking, needing, longing for love, real love. And without Jesus Christ, there'll be no fulfillment. We have students today in classes, in classrooms across America, who are looking for real love, and really it's an oxymoron. They're looking for real love, they need it, they should have it, it should be given to them, but they're being told they're animals. That they're evolutionary products of chance. That's impossible. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord wants us to look at Jesus, who is in fact real love. The Bible tells us, and I love this, if you really think about it, the world in time, this is amazing, in the future, I don't know how it's going to pan out, but the world in time will confess our Christian love one for another. How so? Listen, Matthew 5:16, there Jesus says, now read it carefully, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Who's going to glorify your Father in heaven? According to that verse. Men, the world. Now think about it. Jesus says, let your light so shine that the men of this world, mankind, will glorify your Father in heaven. That's a wild verse. Matthew 5:16. Are they doing it now? Listen, when you lead someone to Christ, do they go, all right? No, they say, oh, you Jesus freak, you crazy loony. You do something in the name of the Lord and people get all upset. Somehow, in the end, the world is even going to have to fess up. You know what? That guy that drove me crazy with his, you know, Jesus loves you, sticker on his car or whatever, somehow, in the end, will confess the good works that God has poured out in your life and through your life. The world, in the end, is going to glorify the Lord. And that's an amazing thing. 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18 tonight. By this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If in verses 9 through 15 that we looked at last time, so we saw the proof of the divine birth, meaning we've been born of God and we have the love of God in us. We looked at that last time, and that we have the life of God in us. Then verses 16 through 18 tells us about the definition of this divine birth. And that is real love that comes from God. And so the first thing that we see in our study is to understand this. To know real love, and jot it down if you would, that we are to live as Christians a redemptive love. Can you write that down? We're to live a redemptive love. What do I mean by that, a redemptive love? Look, our love cannot redeem anyone, I mean, from their sins. That's impossible. Only Jesus can do that. And by the way, there's a cult that's very hip on this, that they believe that they can redeem you. And they believe that there are millions of saviors, of which they are one of them. This is not the redemptive life or love that I'm talking about. We are to live a redemptive life. How so? He says in verse 16, by this we know. By this we know. Important. By this we know. And what is it? It's truth. The truth is this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So the first thing we want to see is that we're to live a redemptive life and that we know the truth. Because Jesus died for us, we've got a message. We can go out and tell people. We don't have to be ashamed. Honestly, there's a difference in being shy and being fearful or timid because of ignorance. We may be shy, but if we know that Jesus Christ loves us and has redeemed us, then we can go forward in that truth, even if we be shy people by nature. We can say, oh Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm shy. But God, this message, let me proclaim it in whatever way God would have you to proclaim it, whatever medium he would provide for you. Maybe it's in your office, or maybe it's on the streets, or maybe it's through writing letters, or however it might go. But the fact of the matter is, we can live a redemptive life, meaning that we can be used by God to bring people to Christ because we have known the love of God. This word is gnosko. In Greek, we've experienced it, we know it, and it is the truth. It's an awesome thing. It's and I don't know about you. I pray to God that there's nobody in this church that is just hanging on. You just hang on. You just come in. You know a little bit. But do you know for a fact? Can you state it? You know, and the day is coming. I'm convinced of it. The day is coming, and can you state it? A reason for the hope that lies within you. Can you stand up and say, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ because I know that He loved me and died for my sins. And by the way, you, Mr. So-and-so with your machine gun just about ready to mow me down, loves you too. There's a hatred against God in our country that has probably never been as it is now. And that hatred is intensifying even against the Christian. Of course, the closer we draw to Jesus, the more hatred we're going to draw. But he says this in verse 16, by this we know love. It's an experiential knowledge. We know it by working with it. We've visually seen it. We've touched it. It's a love that works. It's a love where an old man and a young child, you see them get together. They talk about God. I remember with Ashton and Ken, senior fellows of our church here. Now they've gone home to be with the Lord. You know, the youth love to sit around and talk to these old guys. What brought them together? Jesus Christ. The love of God. This truth that brought them together was that God loved them. This common knowledge of that. We're to be living a redemptive life, and that we have a message to tell people. And that message is, Jesus laid down his life. In our living room right now, we have on the coffee table a nativity scene. And it has all the little animals gathered around there, and it has the wise men, and they're bowing down. There's a little baby in that trough. About whom or about what? This little baby who came into the world to set men free from their sins. God come into the world to save us. John says, we've touched him. We've handled him. We've experienced him. We've seen him. So we are to be living a redemptive life, and that we have the message. We know what the truth is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, where the Apostle John writes of at least one way the true believer can show genuine love for fellow believers. The title, Knowing Real Love. Knowing Real Love is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, written by the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember to visit realradioactive.org when you get a chance, realradioactive.org. That's where you can hear past editions of Real Radio. You can email your question to Ask Pastor Jack if you'd like. You can learn about our Real Radio resources and click on the links to our television programs. It's a great way to keep in touch with all things Real Radio. Also, you could subscribe to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get via email. And you know, more and more, every day, we get Real Radio listeners signing up for the Words to the Wise devotional. And they're also writing in and telling us about it, like this one. It's a blessing. The Words to the Wise devotionals are so great, and the resources are too. You're a wonderful pastor and teacher, blessed and anointed by God, and all the glory goes to Him. You are in my prayers. God bless. Love in Christ, Angela. Angela, thanks for taking the time to write that. We really appreciate it. You can subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click the button on the right there that says devotional. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.